Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been waiting for this one. Ken McCusick, who breaks down film better than some coaches, joining us right now. Good morning to you, Ken.
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Doing all right, man. Ken, I'm just going to warn you. Coming in hot. 1 week before the bye. Got the Rams. Then the bye. During the bye, who gets fired?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they beat the Rams, I think they give themselves a little bit more leash.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So,
who gets fired? Great sound.
So, a bunch of changes are possible. I think pretty much any structural change on defense would be up for grabs, potentially. It could be as simple as like a Dean Pease coming in as a quality control coach again or something like that. Probably not that simple given, you know, what's happened so far. I don't think Harbaugh gets fired. And I, you know, part of the reason is just a practical one that your better candidates are available during the offseason. They're all employed right now.
So you think it's on the table in the offseason?
I guess I would say yes, it's on the table in the offseason at this point, given what's happened. And then there's a bunch of other things, though, that aren't related to firings directly that'll happen. The team could unravel, obviously, in terms of what's going on. If that happens, there may be a reluctance, both on the players and the team, to rush back their stars. I think you could have... a lot of focus on the young players, which will seem positive, but obviously is going to hurt the product on the field. And I think you could have a fire sale of the expiring contracts. There's a lot of value the Ravens have, remarkably much at any one time, of players who can be traded. Maybe we take a moment on this. You know, you can't trade most players during the season for practical reasons, and it's, particularly if they're star players. Like, do you want to trade Lamar Jackson or Roquan Smith right now? You can't do it because those guys make too much money, and there's too much of a cap hit that has to be accelerated immediately for the Ravens departing it, and the team that you're trading them to doesn't have the cap room to take them. But if you're talking about the players that the Ravens have currently on expiring deals, I'm talking Oweh, Linderbaum, Likely, Andrews, Travis Jones, there's teams who can take them, and they have real value, those players. So I think it's possible we see a fire sale.
Jeez.
Wow. Trade deadline.
I get a tip of the cap for your Clockwork Orange analogy. That was the first movie I ever snuck into underage because it was rated X, which they don't have anymore. Now it's NC-17. Yeah. It was X-rated movie. Snuck in, but a brilliant movie. Anthony Burgess. Anyway, we talked about the aversion therapy. It was perfect. You happy to see Keaton Mitchell finally back in there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to see him active. I wish he could have a bigger role in a role with Lamar, but they really need his misdirection. If you ever thought that Lamar Jackson did not earn his 15% commission on all rushing yards, then you have to watch this game over and over again as your remedial learning experience, because he was really central to their rushing.
I read, and maybe you have the same thing, where it was Derrick Henry this past game and without Lamar Jackson has been hit behind the line of scrimmage on average. And then his first hit with Lamar Jackson is like 2 yards down the field. So it shows you're building up him, getting him running downhill, and what happens and the big difference. So everybody talking about, hey, Lamar, he doesn't win the MVP because of Derrick Henry. Yeah. Lamar made Derrick Henry even better.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's just,
anyway. And you can see that every other running back Lamar's ever played with, it's been the same kind of improvement.
So, Ken, what did you think of Cooper Rush? And I think it's odd that some people are even talking about Snoop coming in and being the quarterback. What'd you even pay Cooper Rush for?
He was terrible in this one. I mean, really terrible. He threw the ball 21 times. Okay, passes or sacks are total are 21. 9 of those, he had ample time and space, which means he had a 3-second pocket and the ability to step into his throw.
Right.
3 of those 9 were interceptions. Three of the 9, you know, were interceptions when he got exactly the pocket he needed. So Rush deserves, you know, the amount of blame the full amount of blame for his poor play.
Ken McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. The defense has been deplorable, been probably the worst defense that we've seen Baltimore Ravens play, if not ever. Mm-hmm. Watching film, is the secondary, the bad secondary play, a product of a lack of a pass rush, or the guys in there are just that bad?
It's a combination of, I think, two things. The pass rush certainly has not gotten the job done, and in particular in this last game, we're not particularly good. I think the guys in the secondary who are playing right now with Martin and Lowry and Tampa are younger players who really don't have good instincts at all, and it shows up play after play. Lowry had two plays, short touchdowns. Right. Both times he got kind of not to the right spot. Tampa playing very soft because he's afraid of not being fast enough. At least that's what it looks like to me. I think it's a combination of factors, but the pass rush certainly hasn't helped. And, you know, in terms of getting the pass rush home, the secondary hasn't helped by having that extra half second of coverage.
Can we circle back to that second? When we started this talking about, you know, maybe a lot of changes after the bye. The defense obviously looks terrible. It may be historically bad. May give up the most points in NFL history the way they're going. And they were on pace, what, Jeremy, 600?
Yep.
Right? There was a Colts team that gave up like 5-something when Bruce Ladd was on. He talked about
81.
It a lot.
81. Yeah.
It was 81, yeah. there's a lot of talent on that defense, and these injuries just occurred. This last week was horrific, but there weren't that many injuries going into the season on the defense, and they still look bad. Do you have any hope that if these guys came back, there'd be some improvement, and maybe they'd bring Pease in again? I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see any creativity on defense. I see the coverage sucks. I mean, how's Xavier Hutchinson? How could he be so alone in the red zone this Sunday? I mean, absolutely. No one in the camera shot with him. 5 yards out from the goal line. I don't get any of this. This people waving their arms in confusion in the secondary like Wiggins was doing. That's coaching. That's not the players. I mean, I've played. I mean, that when you don't know what the coverage is, you are completely lost in the secondary. So I just don't quite get what's going on there. I have no hope. Tell me why I should. It's
like, you get veterans back who have instincts. Mm-hmm. Hamilton is a huge addition to the back end. If you want a player who's not wearing the green dot but can still control a secondary and get people repositioned pre-snap, I think you have hope for that. They went through 10 weeks of utter crap last year with Williams and Eddie Jackson on the back end. And then they got it fixed because they replaced those two guys. The whole defense turned it around and whatnot. That's the best example I can give you of, hey, yeah, it can happen. Do I believe it's really going to happen with this team? I think they'll get better because there's nowhere else to go. But do I think they're going to I don't think they'll end up sending the record for the most points allowed. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they called Dean Pease. He's like, do you guys have your cornerback 7 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage? You do? I can't help you. I don't know what to do then. No, I'm kidding. So just speaking on that, because I know you're a math guy and we threw it out here looking at the numbers. Ravens still with a 48% chance to make the playoffs, still actually favored to win the division. Schedules, we just went over it with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I mean, you have an outside shot, but I don't know if you're seeing that light through the other side of the tunnel. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm continually surprised by the way the wagerers, the bettors, seem to favor the Ravens continuously more than I expected. You know, they were favored against the Chiefs. They were just 1.5-point dogs against the Texans.
Can I tell you what it feels like? It feels like the guy that, let's say, all right, I picked the Phillies to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. I bet on them in game one. They lost. Well, then they're not going to lose game two. I picked them to win the World Series. They got to go. So I bet them in game two. Then they lose that one. And it's like, well, do I bet on them in game three? So I don't. Then I go with the Dodgers and then the Phillies win. You know, mm-hmm. Like that's what it feels like, is that people are just doubling down on what we've seen. I did it last week. I thought this was a spot that the Ravens bounced back in. Now, it sucked that Hamilton and a couple other guys ended up being out too.
But even their own, you know, John McClain's, they had one good quarter. You look up, they had one good quarter this season. They ended up dominating the entire game. Yes. How would we not? I bet the Ravens too.
Yeah. I think, you know, that phenomenon goes further than just the wagering markets. If you look at just what's going on in the Baltimore sports diatribe back and forth on Twitter and other places. I mean, people are doubling down on their own opinions about things. They had an opinion that Orr sucked before the year, that they didn't like this, or they want to get rid of Harbaugh. That's the big one, probably. And they want to double down on everything they've got, and they want to say everything they possibly can right now, which makes the whole discourse not a discourse anymore. It's just, it's very difficult online to listen to what's going on.
Thank you very much, Kim McCusick's not going anywhere. Shovels at 8:30, but on the other side, more from McCusick Film Study, Baltimore, right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:17 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, I'm going to say this, and you can disagree and give me reasons why you disagree if you want. I have no confidence whatsoever that this coaching staff can fix it. My confidence that in this team to turn it around is based on number eight and the way he raises that, you know, high tide raises all ships. I have no, if it's up to the coaching staff and the coaching staff alone, no confidence.
Okay. It's been a pretty good coaching staff over the years in terms of winning football games, being ready to play football games and whatnot. So if the Ravens do miraculously turn around and make it to the playoffs, it's not going to be strictly number eight. I'm going to have a hard time believing that, but hopefully we'll have that happy problem to discuss about 3 months from now.
Well, we discussed the offensive line. There's people, again, I think people who, they don't either know the game, I don't insult people, but it's like, you have the best running back in the NFL history. If the offensive line sucks, you can't go anywhere. And I think the situation now with Derrick Henry, where he's averaged like 2 yards a carry this game, there's no crevices, there's nowhere to go. How did you rate the line?
So a lot of that, by the way, in terms of the crevices, is just the teams now that the Ravens are facing. Every one of them is deciding we're going to pack the box and we're not going to.
Yeah.
We're going to make Cooper Rush beat us, and it's pretty clear that Rush and even Jackson before that, when he's in there, were having trouble doing that. But the line was terrible in this last game. Note Boom had contributions to six pressure events. He had an F, and unfortunately, we're seeing why it was so important to have Ronnie Stanley in there. Note Boom was actually pretty good in his first game. Voorhees had two good games in a row coming into this one. He had a D, three pressure contributions in this one. It's only 40 offensive snaps, so it's the kind of game where you make just a couple of mistakes and your grade can really suffer. Linderbaum had no pass rush events allowed, but he missed six blocks, and he had a very serious penalty, an IDP flag, which it actually was declined, but it being a declinable foul is basically the problem, is that it has extra negative impact on the offense. Falele, very sluggish. It's easy to find a lot of bad Falele plays in this game, but he only actually allowed one pressure, and so he still got a C in the game. Rosengarten was the best of the Ravens' offensive linemen. He allowed a third of a sack, had seven missed blocks, got a B in the game, but not pretty. FD, D plus C, and a B obviously is not what you want.
No.
So was there anybody on defense that, I hate saying a hat tip, that did play fairly well that should at least get a mention? Because it didn't look like it. So
there's a lot of guys who played hard, and I think, you know, they deserve more chances, but they just didn't play with great instincts. I think that both inside linebackers were running around the field trying to make tackles, and they were about as effective as traffic cones in terms of managing the area behind them between level two and three in coverage. So that was a problem both Simpson and Buchanan had. But they were very they ran all over the field, and they made tackles, and they're playing hard. Keon Martin, I think, is playing really hard. The problem is he's not playing smart, and he had three penalties in this game. The offsides, I think, was probably just a bad call. The DPI might have been a bad call. I haven't seen an angle yet, which shows a lot of contact there. And then he ran out of bounds on a punt, which reversed a 61-yard punt, negated a 61-yard punt for Stout, and ended up costing the Ravens 25 yards of field position. So that's a really bad triple in one game.
Yeah, it is a bad one. Here with Kim McCusick, Film Study, Baltimore. Okay, Ken, you said Cooper Rush was horrible on Sunday. I don't want to misquote you. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I said it. He's probably going to start again on Sunday, as far as we know.
Yeah.
How could the Ravens beat the Rams with that kind of performance?
It has to start with something being very different, probably starting with turnovers, starting with staying in the game to start.
And I agree with you on the assessment of Cooper Rush, this, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's can't have three interceptions and hope for the Ravens to win the game, obviously. But even if he has none, there's a good chance they don't win the game anyway.
Yeah.
That's the truth of the matter. But he looked good on that first drive. They actually had a decent, sustained drive. They moved down the mm-hmm. field. They ended up getting stalled and kicked a field goal, and that was the beginning of the end, being down 7-3, of course, there. And then he had three interceptions when he had a completely clean pocket to throw from. He just can't do that.
So he can't blame the offensive line, in your opinion?
No.
Okay.
No, he's given a really good opportunity set. Okay. Really good. Yeah.
That's interesting because that's what I was saying. I think people are blaming the offensive line a lot, and they did not play well, and they're not playing that well this year, in my opinion anyway. But I think a lot of the offensive skill players deserve some, like the quarterbacks that you're mentioning, like just holding on to the ball, not throwing the ball away quickly enough, and just – taking unnecessary sacks, and I just don't get. It just seems like there's so many things going wrong, and this isn't like one thing. It's not like you can say, "Well, the offensive line's banged up." They're not. I mean, they are, but Stanley's not. It's not this or that. Henry's in decline. It's none of these things. It's a lot. It's all of them. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything is just not well right now, and how do you fix that?
They're a long way from fixing the offense. They do have a good set of skill position players right now.
Yeah.
And when Lamar's back, they got the best quarterback.
Yeah.
So you got that.
I think the best football player.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Fair too. The offensive line is not as bad as everybody thinks it is. This offense could be better than it truly is. I think they're a middle of the pack offensive line. They're just being asked to do so much in terms of carrying this team with the defensive woes being what they are.
So, Ken, as we start to look at, moving forward and playing the Rams, what types of changes can they make? They are getting healthier. I was surprised that we had Wiggins back this past week after what happened, and they only had seven defensive backs with him coming back. Are we getting healthier this week? It sounds like Ricard won't be back till after the bye. I think Lamar won't be, but we don't know that yet, do we?
Yeah, I actually don't know who's coming back, and Harbaugh has been a little bit arcane.
He's been horrible.
He should just say nothing. I mean, the obvious thing to do is just say, my only comment is no comment. That's what you have to do in M&A work and anything that involves stock transactions or whatnot. There's no reason why the fans need to know anything about injuries or why the media needs to ask. And once he has a stock answer, he can just stick with it.
Only one reason why the fans need to know about injuries, and that's gambling.
Okay.
I'm serious. That's the reason that the NBA, Major League Baseball, they have to have lineups out an hour beforehand.
Right.
It's for the betters. Because they know it's a big part of
it. I think what Ken is saying is he doesn't have to say it.
Oh, no.
He doesn't have to talk about it. And I'm with that. And like I told you before last week, I said this last week, Ken, my problem was not that he didn't talk about it. My problem was him going into this whole rant of telling us how to do our jobs. How about we just don't ask about that? No. We're going to ask about it. Mm-hmm. If your response is, I'm not talking about injuries, that's a response.
Right.
But don't tell me not to ask you about it. That was my only problem.
Yeah, don't tell me what the story is.
Right.
I mean, honestly, but in terms of the injuries, he has the perfect thing. Belichick did it for a while, but you can take it to the extreme, and then it becomes it completely solves the problem.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. Hey, Ken. Let's tell us all about Film Study Baltimore, man.
Sure. At Film Study Ravens, if you're following me on Twitter, on filmstudybaltimore.com, you'll see the defensive articles out there, and it's a relatively short read about a tough topic. So if you don't want to listen to an hour podcast, or a two-hour podcast, actually, then this is the way to do it. The defensive review podcast will be out today in two parts, and the offensive line scoring will be out later today if you want to have an additional thing to go blah over.
There you go. Hey, Ken, look forward to seeing you next week. Hopefully, you have some really good things to report.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Major League Baseball playoff recap at 8:45. It was a good one last night, but on the other side, we're giving out shovels. Ed?
I'm giving it to Taylor Swift.
What?
I can't believe the lyrics in her latest song.
How dare you?
Given her audience.
Hold up. Let me check. How dare you?
Given her audience. To me, aren't they young girls who adore this woman?
Well,
you mean it's worse than the song when she said she ruined a dude's life?
Yes.
There are a lot of people in their 20s that listen to her, too. She's, 30s and 40s.
But, be worst don't nightmare. Kids listen to this girl?
I don't know. Kids listen to our show. I can't say anything.
We're not this bad.
I don't know.
Did you hear the lyrics?
I don't know if anybody's ever sent an email to Taylor Swift's boss complaining about World of Stupid.
Shovels up next on The Fan. Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Ed Norris will get your shovel today.
Taylor Swift.
First of all, can I introduce this real quick? Stephanie and Jess for Mix 106.5. Mm-hmm. The opinion of Ed Norris does not necessarily reflect mine. Keyword necessarily.
Right. Well, I'm just going to say, she has a song called Wood from her album Life of a Showgirl.
Wood.
And it's been highly criticized by her fans because she's making lyrical metaphors about the size of Travis Kelce's penis. Yeah.
What's the song called? 8.5 inches?
Oh, more than that.
Oh.
It's called Wood. Song contains lines such as, quote, redwood tree, it ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my thighs. Talks about, you know, redwood tree and magic wand.
Hold on. You're giving her a shovel and she finally made lyrics for you?
Yeah, I'm not her demo. Yes. Yeah, you're right. I am completely not her demo. But it's on Life of a Showgirl. I don't know. I mean, I don't care personally, but I just think when you have an image like this, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just, and this isn't me, Chris. I'm just giving this because I've not heard the song. Yeah. I don't know any of her songs, but her critics and her fans are actually, they're interpreting it this way. And like, just, one says, fans couldn't believe their ears after hearing the song. Was this Wood song sparks debate. Did Taylor Swift reveal Travis Kelce's penis size on a new album? I don't know, man. Just it's.
I love to hear God from Swifties. America. I know we got some people, some Swifties.
Oh,
out
I'm
there.
Sure.
I would love to hear from them on this.
Joe, what do you think?
Go get Jess.
Joe's a Swiftie.
The song sucks because it just sucks. It's not, the lyrics are fine. I don't care. It's just that like it's a 2.5 minutes wasting of a song. The entire album just kind of sucks.
Do you normally like Taylor Swift's albums?
Like 3 or 4 years ago, like Folklore and Evermore were really good, but those are completely different styles of songs.
Well, that's why I'm asking. If you never liked her, then I don't really take your opinion.
Yeah. Have you heard the song?
I've listened to the whole album a couple times.
And what do you think of the song? Is it as explicit as it? Because I've not heard
it. I don't care about it being explicit. I just think its song, like the structure of the song is awful. It sounds
bad. I've heard
that
too, actually.
So let me ask you this.
Lyrical content doesn't bother me.
You don't care, but do you think it's inappropriate for some of her target audience?
That's up to the parents. My sister got my niece the album the day it came out.
How old is she?
She's 9.
Okay.
There are a bunch of songs in there that are explicit. It's not up to me if my sister wants to let her listen to that.
See, and I don't think... Mm-hmm.
Be a parent and pay attention to your kid and say that they can't do it. It's the same thing if you listen to this show. Don't get mad at us because Jeremy's talking about...
Hold on, they do too.
Don't
put it on me.
No, don't.
By the way, maybe Joe just doesn't like songs about tight ends' penises. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I also just I don't need to know that about Travis Kelce. I can't stand Travis Kelce.
Old Redwood? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't need old Redwood.
Jeremy Kahn, what's your shovel?
My Uber driver from Friday night. Oh, buddy.
This is great.
I was high as a kite. This girl picks me
that's
up.
That's not the story. That's not the story.
No.
That's every day.
She picks me up. I'm going down to Locust Point. We're meeting to go to the Shane Gillis concert. I'm literally texting Ed and Joe, who are going as well. Like, this is the worst Uber ride I've ever been on in my entire life. I still tipped her. I didn't do anything with the stars. I don't mess with people. I still tip people. Maybe she's having a bad day. Who knows? This woman was braiding her hair with both her hands and driving at 70 miles an hour with her knees. Cutting people off. She did everything on the road that I hate what people do. That 295 or 95, to get on 95 is all the way backed up. And you clowns that drive all the way to the end and try to force your way in. Get in line like the rest of the people. You're what's holding up traffic for everyone else because you're a jackass. Then she takes three.
Stop talking about me.
She takes three personal phone calls. One of them was FaceTime and the dude's looking at her like, who the hell is that in the back? Like, I could not believe it. Like, it was just insane to be in this car and how she was driving all over the place. Nice girl, but come on, man. Like, I can't believe somebody would do that with someone else in the car. The stuff that you're talking about on a personal phone call, I shouldn't be hearing that, period. Crazy.
My shovel goes to parents in youth sports. So we had a what they call a jamboree, a super scrimmage mm-hmm. up in York, Pennsylvania, Saturday. So some boys' team was playing, and I'm sitting there because we play on that court next. And the dad was like, this is the entire game, Jeremy. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come on. Get to the baseline. Come on. Take the shot. That's bad defense. Why are you doing this? Come on. Yelling at the kid the entire time. And then at one point, he yells to the kid, focus. And I'm thinking to myself, focus on who? You're sitting next to me. The coach is over there. He yelled at this kid the entire time. Parents, some of you rob your kids of opportunities to be kids. That's why I told you before, Jeremy, I can't coach boys basketball, because every parent believes that these kids should be in the NBA. Mm-hmm. This kid is a good high school basketball player. That was it. That's it for him. He's a good high school basketball player. He probably could play D3, maybe a lower D2, and enjoy the rest of his life. There's nothing wrong with that. This dad was getting on my nerves. I wanted to say, dude, shut up. Can we just watch the game? Let's just watch the game, man. And this happens so often. Just shut up. And some of you, like, he was on the side saying, how, you know, come on, man. I don't know where you get this stuff from. Some of you tell your kids lies. Because some of you locally tell your kids how good you were when you were in high school. You came up in my era. You weren't that good. You weren't. And you know the guy, Jeremy. Oh, man, back when I – No, you didn't. Good friend of mine once had a 35-point game. I was at that game. You scored 15, buddy. You didn't score 35. Stop lying to your kids.
You missed the second half.
Stop lying to your kids.
You know, it's so funny. It seems like every parent I hear talk to their kids talks about themselves.
Yeah.
Like they should have been in the Olympics. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the hard thing about, you know, coaching, and Rob knows it too, is that if you got coaches in the stands, and we've all, I think parents have done it every time when you're talking to your kids. If you're a coach, you're always going to coach. But at the same extent, you have to have respect for the head coach over there.
Shut up. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many kids I've seen, whether it's in-house, travel, AAU, all that stuff, that some of them care more about what their dad thinks than actually how they've played.
And I that's why I love the fact that I coach basketball, because my kids know, and everybody knows, I was horrible. I know the game. I just couldn't execute. I was not good. So there are no war stories for me to tell you about basketball. I was horrible. I just know the game. That's it. Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. Man, my shovel is going to Baltimore Ravens fans. You know, this shovel was inspired by my classmate, Marcus Johnson, who also works for the BPD, Baltimore Police Department, if you don't know what that is, right?
Hey, if you got to explain what the initials are, why don't you just say it in the first place and stop wasting time?
Yeah. All right, but listen, man. No, because he's a Ravens fan now as of 2 years ago. He was a Cowboys fan. And he made a post on Facebook the other day about how, you know, Ravens fans are just disloyal. And, you know, after, you know, just one losing season so far, things are going bad. They, you know, they leaving the stadium early. They selling their tickets. They saying they're not watching the game no more. And, like, basically, like come on, man. Like a lot of these fans seem like to me they were just Ravens fans because it was popular. You know, it's a popular thing to do. Lamar's in town, you know, but they couldn't live through the days of the Quincy Carters, Anthony Wright, Ryan Leafs, you know, that the Cowboys fans had to endure for years, though. So, I mean, like, come on. Like, what are they going to do if we have another losing season next year? Like, I mean, like, come on, man. Just stay loyal to your team, man. Things will get better.
Hey, Rashawn, thanks a lot for the call. Severin, Danny. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. I'd like to give my shovel to you guys because y'all don't think that the Steelers can get better as they go on.
Hmm. Okay. So, do you think they can?
Yes.
Okay. I'll give my shovel to you because your opinion is different from mine. That sounds good, Danny. Appreciate that. My shovel is to everybody who doesn't share my opinion. Get out of here, man. Mike Locksley joins us at 9:15, but on the other side, MLB playoff recap on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sasaki hunkers down on the mound. Kicks and fires. Turner swings. Ground ball to second. Scooped up by Edmund. He throws first. Dug out by Freddie Freeman. He picks it and saves the game. That's a win for LA.
That's Dodgers Radio Network. All right. I mean, both of you guys love baseball. I understand that. I'm a baseball nerd. It's like the Kobe Bryant conversation. You both admit Kobe's one of the best basketball players ever played. I'm so biased I can't have that conversation. So I said it to ask you this, and I don't know you're watching a lot, Jeremy. I feel like this has been one of the more exciting playoffs that I can remember probably maybe since the year the Cubs won. What was that, 2016?
Yeah.
This has been awesome. These games have been close. A lot of low-scoring games, great pitching. Mm-hmm. This has been an awesome playoff run so far.
And if you remember the Cubs-Guardians, that was the Andrew Miller, Aroldis Chapman, let's showcase what we have as much. Let's let these guys' arms fall off this postseason. We had games.
And by the way, Chapman is still pitching.
Yeah, he struck out the side after loading the bases, didn't he? Or got out of it, I should say.
No, he loaded them.
But the point is, like, in what you're talking about, we've seen so many games come down to 7, 8, 9 innings. Like, who's going to come up with the clutch hit? We've seen managers make tough decisions on when to pull starting pitchers and, you know, pinch hit for somebody, pinch run. You think maybe the Phillies aren't kicking themselves last night for pinch running for Kyle Schwarber? Because in the back of your mind, you're going, I don't want to take that bat out of the lineup if we get the extra innings. But you still got to get the extra innings.
Yeah.
So if you'd have put your fastest guy on second, maybe he doesn't get thrown out at third base, you know? So it's just a great plays by by LA, by the way. Mookie Betts heads up play to get over there and get behind the bag to tag him out. Yeah. So, but you're right. These playoffs have been great.
He was a gold glove outfielder. Now he's playing, they say, what, defensively, he's rated the top shortstop in the game.
Yeah, shortstop, second base, outfield. He played everywhere.
Yeah, just tremendous games. More great games tonight. What do you like tonight? If there's one game you could watch, only one game, which game would it be?
I mean, there's nothing better than watching the Yankees face elimination. Let me just say that. But the game I would prefer to watch of those two would be the earlier one, the Tigers and Mariners. Yeah. I think this is going to be a shootout today. I think we see Cal Raleigh go yard. I think we see a bunch of runs scored today. And with all due respect to Logan Gilbert, who can just show up and shove it.
Yeah.
Tigers home game in this playoff round. I think the crowd will be into it. And again, Jack Flaherty's going on the other side. Flaherty capable of getting those Ks, but we know he can get hit. So that's the game I want to watch. And I can't give you a good reason other than, like, it's my favorite game to bet on today.
I think also the fact that we know by now you and I both love afternoon baseball.
Oh, there's nothing better.
So I think that adds to it a little bit.
That's one of the best parts about this whole postseason. There's been a lot of early games.
More so than normal, am I right?
It seems like it, yeah. So, I mean, there's been afternoon games, it feels like, every day. So I've been watching a lot of baseball.
Do you think that's because of the expansion of the playoffs?
I guess.
That's happened recently?
Otherwise, they'd be in conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think working a morning show, and I've always loved baseball, but these afternoon games, I think it's one of the reasons why I love the NFL. You get Sunday, you watch all the games in the afternoon, you decide Sunday night football good enough for you, Monday, Thursday night. All those night games, it really, you got to make business decisions. Am I staying up and watching this and being miserable in the morning? Am I getting some sleep early and rewatch it in the morning to get ready for the show, which I've done a couple of times.
I'm telling you, man, nothing like the NFL app. You watch the game, they take all the commercials out.
I just go to YouTube and it just condenses it to 11 minutes. I've said this, you know, for all the people that love football, you ain't watching much action. It's 10 to 11. Well, I should say
11 to 15.
11 to 15 officially, minutes of action.
Yes.
Yep.
I told you when Stephanie was it maybe 11? She said, I don't want to go to the games. They're boring. I said, football is boring? She said, yeah, Dad, it's just a bunch of standing around in the huddle.
I'm kind of with her, though. It's not just that. There's too many penalties. There's no other sport that stops like this.
Are we getting to the point where it's like, as a society, it's everything has to be now?
Yep.
Like, I remember when I first got a remote control for a fan, and I'm going, you can't stand up and pull that thing? Like, the, you know, a ceiling fan.
Remote control? Or oh, what about
no, because I like to pull it when I'm laying in bed. Okay. No. You get what I'm saying? Like, it just seemed so lazy. Like, my dad was like, I can't believe we have a remote control. I can just yell at my kids to walk down two flights of stairs to change a channel for me. He didn't need a remote control. He had us.
Right.
Like, these things that people have now, it's like we want stuff readily available all the time. And with DoorDash and Uber, we got to get this. And I need this TV show to come out this time. I want to watch the entire series and not wait each week. Like, everything has to be right now. And I feel like maybe we're looking at football differently because it's not just action. It's a lot of nothing.
It seems like there's more penalties than there ever have been.
And that's one. Who was it? I think Troy Aikman was the one that was just going, this is ridiculous. They had a game, I don't know if it was Sunday or one of the weeknights last week, where he just went off. He goes, there's a flag on every play. How are we supposed to even watch this?
That's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. That's why I know you guys are going to make fun of me. I cannot wait for the start of hockey. There's no stoppage in play unless there's a penalty. And if they're infrequent. That's it. You play. You play. These guys skate their ass off. There's line changes.
What if a guy gets really cold? They don't stop it and let him go and get a blanket or something?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's ice.
It's ice they play on.
It's dangerous.
Yes. Like, you've seen people go to hockey games in T-shirts. I'm like, you've never been to one of these, have you? It's
like, I'm glad you said something because I've never been to one of those. It's
like, you're buying a hoodie. Trust me.
But again, like with what Rob said, I think this has been one of the best postseason baseball that we've had thus far.
Lots of action. Young players are baseball is going to be in good
hands.
And
Jack Flaherty's pitching. We get to hear about him all day tomorrow.
They got him going anymore.
Callers.
Michael Oxley, head coach of the Maryland Terps, joins us at 9:15. But John Harbaugh, hot seat, warm seat, lukewarm. What's the status of his job? I mean, is he really, really secure, firmly secure? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.